All right. Good morning, everybody. Okay. All right. I meant to mention Olga is still hanging in there. She's doing, I guess, pretty good. She's starting her radiation treatments. For those of you who know, Olga's got cancer, you know, the breast cancer, and they did all the chemo stuff, and then they found still a bunch of cancer and lymph nodes and realized they didn't do enough on the margins, and so they had to go in and do more surgery. And I'm thinking, oh boy, it sounds like they're chasing it now. But hopefully, Lord willing, she'll be okay. I was talking with Oleg too. You know, I'm going to talk about a little bit about what do we do in a resurrected life now. Last week, you know, because it was Resurrection Sunday, as most people think of it, you know, Easter, whatever. But then we talked as we ended, there's two resurrections, the one that now is, Jesus speaks about, and then the general resurrection. And so a lot of times people think about, well, the general resurrection, you know, when people go to heaven that are, you know, going there, whose names are in the book of life, what do you do in heaven? You know, we're going to talk about that. And then the resurrection that is now. But in both cases, what are we going to do? What are we expected to do in the resurrection? Well, I appreciate what Don just said. God gave us bodies that are no longer ours. They're for his use. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirits, which are God's, because we've been bought with a price. And he has equipped us in these physical bodies to be able to take care of things here as necessary with our jobs and families and getting the grass mowed and walking the dog and painting the fence and all that stuff. But we're made for more than that. We're made for more than that. We're to go ye. And that could be across the street, into all the world. We got to help other people. Once we come to the knowledge of the truth, we take on the, by the command and authority of God, we have a mission to now go as he did and seek and save the lost. Now, that's not a real formal operation. It's quite natural, actually. It's just simple interaction between others of the human race. As we go, we share. Most of it will be done in around a cup of coffee, a kitchen table. It's not really done up here, you know. When there is a public proclamation, that can be very encouraging, and it can be very useful. And boy, today you can listen to stuff now. Online and messages, other, you know, brethren or recording, as we do. That can be helpful, but boy, there's no substitution for the one-on-one. Okay, we're going to be talking somewhat about that. But, you know, I get a chance to stay connected with some of the places that we've gone for years, just other humans on the other side of the planet. I'll be leaving for Vietnam, Lord willing, May 1st. Just me and Bach. Bach's got some personal matters to attend to down where, you know, he's kind of from, down in the Canto region. But we'll be together for the most part. But I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff with men in the church. I'm doing studies in Hanoi, Vung Tau, and Canto. Not so much on the humanitarian aid side like we have in the past. That might be for later in the year. But, you know, people in Vietnam's going through stuff. There's a real concern by the communist government there, believe it or not. I think they want to be more friendly with America because they're really afraid of China. They know they are in the crosshairs. So's the Philippines. So's Taiwan. All that Pacific basin over there, China wants it all. And they know it. There's no way they can take on China. So there's troublesome times. Oleg told me that Belarus just passed a law outlawing home Bible studies and gatherings. Why? All of you have been in a home Bible study and a gathering. It's fun. It's fun. Why would they outlaw that? Well, first off, they really don't believe your Bible study, and they think you're getting together and conspiring to overthrow the big boss, more than likely. And Oleg says they've also come out, told us all that, SMS, I guess that's texting. Oleg says now they got it all set up. They text us when they want us to report to the military. So he was told that too. I said, you're too old for that, aren't you? I mean, he's like 55 or something. He laughed. He said, yeah, supposedly. But with them, they do what they want. Do what you want, or do what they want. So Oleg says, now, yeah, I could receive a text. To go, and I heard Russia wants Belarus to give a whole bunch of troops for this war in Ukraine. Troublesome times. Troublesome times. So, this world is like that. It's broken. It's not going to get much better. I don't know what's going to happen here. Everything's in the crosshairs, it seems like. Every day, it's just the worst. But that's okay. Because God gives us an out. Now and later. You can take it now because there's two resurrections that are spoken of. We need to be partakers, the Bible says, in the first resurrection so that the second death will have no power over you. So in Big John 5, we'll just refresh 1 second on that. I think I talked about it a little bit last week. 1 John chapter 5, Jesus first off says that the Father does not judge anyone. 1 John 5 and 22. He said, because God has committed all judgment to the Son. Paul makes that clear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive for the deeds done in our body, good or bad. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:10. What'd I say? Oh, sorry. Well, it's the first John I ran into when I was going through the Bible. It's Big John. I was just checking to see if the guy's paying attention. You did good. You did good. Can you repeat your 2 Corinthians 5:10. Appear before the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of people don't realize that. Jesus said it plainly. The Father judges no one. It's Christ. And who better? He's the one that went through all this down here in human form and suffered the heat of the day and the weariness and all the temptation, all that stuff. Who better to judge? Who better to judge? Well, anyway, but then Jesus says in verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Most assuredly, truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming. And then he says, and now is, 2,000 years ago, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, those who hear will live. Drop on down. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. And notice he doesn't say, and now is. This is the general resurrection now he's referring to. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Two resurrections mentioned plainly. One, he said, the hour is coming and now is 2,000 years ago. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear it will live. Well, what dead is he talking about? Well, Paul makes it clear. Just go to Ephesians 2 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul said, he made you Christians at Ephesus alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you were walking according to the course of this world, following the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. We all did that, Paul said. You were dead because there's the dead, physical death, and a spiritual death. You know, there's a separation, Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, your sins and your iniquity separate you from your God. Once that happens, you have to be reconciled back to him. You have to be reconciled back to him. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 6, another example of you were dead, now you're alive. Romans 6 and 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because these are Christian people that have come out of that darkness and into the light. They've been born again. Paul's making that clear, but he has to explain to them, don't you realize what happened to you when you were born again, baptized into Christ? Shall we continue in sin like we did before? And so that this grace may abound? Some people think grace is licensed to sin. Some people think just because you are saved by grace through your faith that it doesn't matter what your performance is. He said, no, he's changing your nature. You don't have to be like you were before. You can walk in new life. This is where he's going. Don't you know, verse 3, that as many of us as were immersed into Christ were actually baptized, immersed into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through that baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in new life. Why do you think he said you have to be born again? John 3. Then Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, well, now as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Well, you ain't going to grow taller. You might grow wider, but not taller. Grow spiritually is what he's talking about, from babes to the meat of the word. Grow spiritually. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, well, certainly we'll be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, our old nature was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be neutralized, done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because he who has died has been freed from sin. This is what I want to talk about. Briefly, the only thing the Bible talks about what you're going to be doing in the general resurrection is this. You want to hear it again? Nothing. The Bible don't talk about what you're... The only thing the Bible says about your resurrected, general resurrected life. I'll give you this. I'm going to Revelation 21 here, I do believe. Verse 1, maybe now I saw a new heaven, new earth. First heaven, first earth passed away. There was also no more sea. Verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And in Philippians chapter 3, And we're going to go to 1 John 3. Philippians chapter 3. You can get 1 John 3 if you want. Get it lined up there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we... And that's a present tense, by the way. I didn't read it there in Ephesians chapter 2. But verse 6 says, you've been raised up and seated together now with him in heavenly places. There's something really amazing that took place when you were immersed into Christ. I didn't continue reading in Romans 6, but you have a total new potential. And your faith has to catch up with that understanding. That's why you go from milk of the word to meat of the word. That's why you have to be like a baby again, kind of clueless. Babies are clueless. They have no idea where they're at. About the only thing they know is their mother's breast. After that, forget it. They don't know nothing. Not at birth. Philippians 3, Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait, that's what we're waiting for, the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he's able to subdue all things to himself. Now, 1 John 3 tells us, we actually, John said, don't know what we will be like. But here's what we do know. 1 John 3 and 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. How pure? Just as he is pure. See, we begin a new life to rise and walk in a newness of life in a purification, pure as he's pure, to perfect a holiness, to be ye holy as he is holy, and reminded that we practice righteousness now in him because he who practices righteousness is righteous. How righteous? As he is righteous. This is going to fulfill Romans 8:29. Those whom God foreknew, his people, his children, he predestined them to be conformed into the very image of his son, that he, Jesus, and that's character of his son. It's not this image, it's not your face. I mean, what Jesus' face looked like. He was a Jewish guy. He probably looked Jewish. Kind of Mediterranean there, you know. According to Isaiah 53, you could almost make a case he wasn't too good looking. Now, it's a little hard to divide there in Isaiah 53. Was that before the beating or after the beating? Because it goes right into his beatings. But it says he had no charismatic appeal about him. There was nothing that would draw you to him personally. He didn't look like Elvis. I mean, if you think Elvis was good looking, I guess he was, right? That we would be conformed to that character, that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn of many. Well, what was his character like? Holy, as God was holy. Pure, as God was pure. Righteous, as God was righteous. And perfect, as God was perfect. All encapsulated in a human body. Sometimes people wonder, what does a new creation in Christ look like? 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some people wonder, what does that look like? Think Jesus of Nazareth. That's what it looks like in human form. in human form. Your body don't have a thing to do with it. It's the character. That's what he's transforming in us. So we don't know nothing about what we'll do in the general resurrection. The Bible is silent. Whether we have jobs or not, or do we just float around in the clouds playing harps? I don't think so. I did see that in the cartoons growing up. I always thought if you die and go to heaven, that's what you do. You float around the clouds and you play harps. Easy. Get there and you'll know. And you'll like it. You'll like it. Do you know what? If God told us what you do in heaven, you know what somebody do? They'd build a church for it. When God told Hezekiah, destroy that brazen serpent. Remember, that brazen serpent was a big deal. Just as Moses lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, anybody that got snake bit, they had to get out of that tent. They had to get clean across that compound to where that brazen serpent was up on that pole that God told them to make. And they had to look at it, and then they wouldn't die. Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him would not die. Next time you see an ambulance going by, look at the side of it. What do you generally see in the medical corps, or medical field, or even on the side of an ambulance? A post with a snake wrapped around it. Did you ever wonder, what in the heck does that mean? Why you got a snake on a pole? That's right. There's help there, healing. It's the idea, medical. It doesn't work all the time here, okay? So don't go stand around staring at ambulances. If something happens, you might get hit by a car. Then you will need the ambulance. All we know is we get these new bods. But even John says we don't know exactly what we will be like, but what we do know is we'll be like him. So the general resurrection, just you might as well leave that there. It's all the information you're going to have on it. But what about the resurrection that Jesus spoke of and he said, and now is? Well, we've already been looking at some verses. Well, you've now been buried with him. You've been crucified with him. You've actually participated, Romans 6 says, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, and just like as God raised up Jesus from the dead, that now we should walk in new life. It ain't the old life warmed over. Know this, Christians in the Bible are not just simply forgiven sinners. Do you receive forgiveness of sins in the immersion? Yes, you do. But what then? Rise up. Rise up and walk in the new life and potential that God has just given you. Paul would go so far as to say, you were buried with him. You died in that experience. Colossians 3 says the same thing. Colossians chapter 3. He makes reference, if you have been raised with Christ, what's he talking about? Raised with Christ. Colossians 3:1. All you got to do is let your eyeballs, in my Bible anyway, drift back across the page just a little bit. Where your eyeballs go into chapter 2 of Colossians. And he says in verse 12, you were buried with him in that baptism. That's the same thing Romans 6 just said that we read. In which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Same thing Romans 6 says. To walk in newness of life. So he starts out in Colossians 3. Well, then if you were raised with Christ, that's what he's talking about. In your new birth. In your new birth. Well, then seek those things which are above. where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Why? Because you died. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, well, then you're going to appear with him in glory. Don't set your mind on things of the earth. Why? You don't, you're not here anymore. Now, this is where our faith has got to catch up. And I said this the other day on the study with the Belarusians, because I was talking to them about this too. Because they observe, well, they observe two Easters over there. The one that we normally recognize in the West that this passed. But the Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox Church celebrates it, I think, May 1st or something like that. It's not, so they get two. Double the Easter eggs, I guess. Kidding. But the idea is, there's a lot of people that struggle with Romans 6 or even this right here. Many places in Scripture about their potential. Because there's so much teaching out there that basically tells people they're totally depraved. They can never be nothing but sinners. They were sinners yesterday. They're sinners today. They'll be sinners tomorrow. You're just a sinner saved by grace. Period. Is that what the Bible teaches? The Bible, now I'm talking about this right here. Churches teach that. Preachers will teach that. Well, what does the Bible teach? Right. Exactly. I'm giving you scriptures. He said you died in that experience. Who is he talking about? He said it was your old nature, Romans 6 said, was what was put to death. That's what was crucified. Know this, crucifixion was not, it was definitely capital punishment, but it wasn't just a severe whooping. When your feet left the ground, they never came back down to the ground. You didn't come down alive. You were put to death in that experience. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, Matthew chapter 16 and 24, anyone wants to follow me, number one, know this, you must deny yourself. That's going to get most people heading the other way. Deny yourself. This ain't about you. This is about God. And if you want to follow him, you want to serve him, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way. Deny yourself. I think I've made this comparison before. It's like when you join the military. You signed up. Your life was not your own anymore. And they would tell us that those putrid bodies of ours didn't belong to us. They belonged to the United States government, boy. And you better not go out on the weekend and get yourself sunburned, boy, where you can't put that pack on. We'll court-martial you. That body ain't yours. That belongs to the government. They weren't kidding either. Or if you harmed yourself on purpose to avoid duty or avoid making the landing with the landing force into a combat zone, you could go to prison, court-martial. You do that to yourself, harm yourself to not do duty. That's malingering. That body ain't yours. You made that decision when you signed up. You gave them, for so many years, that commitment. And you follow orders, whether you like them or not. And we mentioned over there, we are not to reason why. Ours is but to do and die. When you denied yourself to follow him, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to give it up for my sake and the gospel, you will save your life. What does it profit for a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? Now, don't misunderstand. Denying self and taking up the cross and following him is not a burden to be borne. Read what he's saying. He says, I am trying to set you free. Come to me, you who labor, Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden. You're already bearing the burdens, man, is what he's trying to tell you. Come to me, learn from me. You will find rest for your soul. He said, my yoke is the easy one and my burden is light. You're the one bearing the burden, he said. I'm not binding the burden on you. God is not binding the burdens on us. It's God that's trying to set us free. But here's how it has to be done. You got to be willing to do this by denying yourself, and yourself is your old man. It's your old nature. Remember, the Bible speaks we have a dual nature. The one whose mind is set to the flesh and one whose mind set to the spirit. The flesh lusts against the spirit lusts against the flesh. They're contrary, Galatians chapter 5. And your works of the flesh aside, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thefts, blasphemes, sorcery, hatred. He runs down a whole list of what that dark side is like. And such were some of you. And then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The love and the joy and the gentleness and the peace and the goodness. Well, which one you want? He says, I set before you good and evil, life and death. He says, choose life that you may live. Hint, hint, if you can't figure it out. Look, we've all been there, Ephesians 2. We mentioned it when we started. You were dead before in your trespasses and sin, but he's the one to make you alive. You were following the course of this world, he said. This is what the new, the resurrection that now is. You never had that potential before. No human did. That's totally Christian. Not the patriarchs. Not under the law of Moses, 1,500 years of a good and holy just law. Human beings, ever since Adam and Eve, never had the potential that is given when Messiah would come. When the Christ would come. This is all about the new life in Christ. It's all part of a plan that God had before the foundation of the world. That all is in the Bible, but it ain't in the teaching in so many religious organizations today. And everywhere I go, this is the message they get. Book, chapter, verse. Now, the Bereans in Acts 17 were more noble than those in Thessalonica because when they were hearing this stuff, they received the word of God, it said, with a readiness of mind. Okay, all right. Okay, what are you saying? We come here to hear what you got to say. Want to hear what you got to say? That's what it says in Acts 17. They put him up at the Areopagus in Mars Hill. What's this babbler talking about? Talking about some resurrection of somebody from the dead here. And Paul started to unpackage. When they heard about resurrection from the dead, some laughed. They mocked. But others said, no, 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 we want to hear more. We want to hear more. What are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about? You see, if you read the scripture, this is what you're going to find. Christianity, cheap grace nowadays. He pours all that out to save you so you can continue in sin, hoping that grace will abound. Paul said, may it never be. He said, that is not going to happen. Don't you know what happened to you, he said in that immersion? That old nature of yours was neutralized, whether you know it or not. You've heard of institutionalization of people, right? Sometimes if they've been in some sort of captive situation or in prison, sometimes they're in there so long, you can literally open the doors and tell them you can go now. And they stand there. You go like, go, you're free. You push them out. They go, get out of here. Why do they want to go back in there? Familiar, used to it. They're institutionalized. We've borne the old man for so long. God sets us free. He tells us we're free to go now, to rise and walk in the newness of life, and we go right back. And it's like, come on, come on, come on, let's go. Let's go. Be blessed. God's trying to bless us. He set us free. Let's go. Remember that Luke 4? Jesus walks into his hometown in Nazareth. As his custom was. Now we are, I don't know if we read the whole thing there, but remember, it says right there in Luke 4, them people already heard about what he did in Syria. The Chosen kind of brings that out. When Jesus returned to Nazareth, they were really excited to see him because they'd been hearing what he had been doing. But when he went into the old hometown synagogue, as his custom was, and the scroll was given to him, and he took it, found it in the place of Isaiah, verse 18, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He closes up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant, sits down, as the custom is for the teacher to sit. Why we do it this way, I'm standing, you're sitting, get up. So I can sit down. Closes the book, gives it back to the attendant, sits down. All the eyes who were in the synagogue are fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Again, I like how they showed that in the Chosen series. He said that to them, "Today, the scripture's fulfilled in your hearing." And then he says, "Now, today." He wanted to make it clear. I'm talking about right now. Well, now they're taking a step back because that means, you know, they would think, that's what it said. They're realizing, like the rabbi in the movie said, "What are you saying?" And he says, "I think you know exactly what I'm saying. If that's fulfilled, he's the Messiah." Suddenly, they went to wrath. That's what it says. They went to wrath on him, took him out to the edge of the city to throw him over the cliff that's outside of Nazareth. I've seen that cliff. You ain't surviving that fall. They're going to throw him right over that thing. But he passed right through them. Today. "The hour's coming," Jesus said, "and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." These scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing today. Now, Paul would say, today is the day of salvation. This is where it begins. Do we have anything to do in this new life as new creations in Christ? Absolutely we do. This is where we begin to put off concerning our former conduct, according to Ephesians chapter 4. We put off that old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind, Paul says, that we put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You want quality of life starting right now? I can't help what's going on. We get more news, you know, from Ukraine. They're back at it. It ain't good. And they're running out of the air defense missiles, which means those Russian missiles are going to start really getting through. That's going to wreak havoc on them people. We were fortunate we were there. Those Patriot missile systems, they're good, man. They got most of them knocked down before they ever get to the people. But they run out of them rockets. They got to get them from us, and we ain't delivering them. We're behind. Things are going to get worse. What Oleg says, they're going to text me, tell me, come down here and you're in army now because we're going to send you to Ukraine. The Vietnamese are worried about the Chinese. I read, they say Iran is going to blast Israel for that recent killing of one of their other guys, generals. So what? That's this world. This is the escape. I'm not political here. I'm just telling you, Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and eclipses. So don't lose your mind and jump out a window when the sky gets easy. Famines, earthquake, pestilence. They're talking another pestilence. Gee whiz. The hour is coming, and now is 2,000 years ago. These scriptures are fulfilled, and you're here. Don't listen to just a bunch of noise out there, even religion. Get your Bible out. Learn how to rightly divide. Follow the message. It's a message of hope. This is what we do in this first resurrection. We prepare ourselves for a prepared place. We put off concerning the old. We put on the new. It's a blessing now because with it comes joy and peace in believing. We can abound in hope by the power of God's Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13. That's all today, now in our hearing. Yes, he said you'll be tested to just test the genuineness of your faith. And when you go through those fiery trials, Peter said, rejoice. Only Christian people can truly rejoice in trial because they've got the bigger picture. One way that you can take the sting out of something or a bad experience or some trauma that you face that you're so focused on all the time is, what if you opened up the view to the larger context of your life? It's God that gives us the larger context. God does not give us amnesia. These people that are being molested, killed, murdered. I saw a psychiatrist down there talking about them poor people still stuck in them tunnels in Gaza. They were getting kids out of there. Some kids have been released. They said, we're going to have to rewrite our books on how to handle some of the things that have happened because they're insane now. Can you imagine a child being insane because of what they saw in this hell hole dungeon in darkness of what they were doing to their parents and threatening to do? I don't want to talk about it. Who even wants to think about it? Where's God? Where's God? Same place he's always been. Close by. At hand. The atheist thinks they got the case. Yeah, where's your God, man? You got this all-powerful God, good God, that he can do anything. How come he allows this? Because the light is greater than the darkness. The light is greater than the darkness. And if you've suffered things growing up, whatever happened to you, it happened to you. But if you're just stuck and can't see nothing past it and you want to spend the rest of your life wallowing, going around in circles about, what happened, it's God that gives you the bigger view and expands your view to the length and the height and the breadth and fills that experience now with light, truth, goodness, kindness, mercy. He expands the view so, whatever happened, you happened. You can still, if you want to look down there and see that, it's there. But it's been overwhelmed by. God made our minds. The mind can expand for that. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, telling the 12 right before he left. But he said, you can't bear it yet. You don't have the capacity. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will open up your understanding. He will guide you into all truth. That's how the darkness can be overcome by the light. That's what this teaches. It makes me crazy. I know when the kids all got killed at that school out in Connecticut, what was it, Sandy Hook, they had a priest down there and they had Joel Holstein on there. And a commentator says, you guys got to give us some hope here. How we deal with this? The nation's grieving. What do we got to tell them? Here's two representatives of mainstream religion. And both of them, too, look like the old deer in the headlights look. God works in mysterious... That's a bumper sticker. I was about ready to jump right out of my seat. All kinds of words came to my mind of how we can process second graders being killed in their classroom by some nutcase. But that Catholic guy and that Protestant guy, zero. Nothing to say. This has got plenty. The Bible, the Word of God, to say about that. It's the hope of the world. And we're the messengers. We've been saved to save others. What do you do in the resurrection that now is? Get to work. And ourselves and helping others as well. Thank you for your attention this morning.